The Next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing leaders, from vision and strategy to leadership and emerging technologies. The Next CMO is sponsored by Planful, a platform to build, manage, and measure your marketing plan, track all your marketing spend, and connect your budget with outcomes to measure your ROI. Check it out at planful.com/marketing. Your CFO will love you for it. I'm your host, Scott Todaro, a 32-year marketing veteran, 7-time head of marketing, and co-author of the book, The Next CMO.
Welcome to another edition of The Next CMO podcast. I am joined here by Dmitry Vlachos, who I am excited to talk to today because Dmitry and I have had a lot of long conversations, usually over a couple of drinks. And there's nothing like getting a couple of CMOs together talking about past war scars and other things along those lines. It's, as we all know, it's a pretty challenging job out there. But I'm really excited to have Dmitry here because of his deep experience in marketing. He spent over 15 years as a marketing leader right now, last three positions in CMO roles at Devo, Brinca, and now currently at Spacelift. So he's got a lot of experience of running the whole shebang, and there's a lot to it. I think the great thing about Dmitry is that he's managed all different size companies and growth rates, budget sizes, the number of people. He's had to scale organizations very quickly. And we all know in marketing that is exceptionally hard to do, especially if your company gets a large influx of money or you go IPO, things along those lines. Now, the one thing that I will say about Dmitry that I love the most is that he enjoys a good steak like me. But we didn't come here to talk about steak. So let's get into the meat of the conversation. So welcome, Dmitry. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hopefully you're excited to be on.
I am. Great to see you, Scott.
All right. Well, good. Well, let's get something off our chest because I think you and I both share an affinity for people complaining about certain terminology in marketing. I think there's some words that may be a little overused or misused in marketing. And I think we should kind of call them out now because I'm getting sick and tired of having to explain, go through a glossary of terms for marketers that have been doing this for 10 years. And I think there's a lot of reasons why we got here and we could go through the whole history and bore everyone. But I'd love to hear from you. What are these terms that drive you nuts? And I'm probably going to agree with more of the, not only all of them, but probably have some more that we can add to the pie. So what are you seeing out there that drives you nuts every day?
I think there's three main terms that I find incredibly overloaded: campaign, conversion, and content, right? Because all three, it's like, what do those really mean? They can mean different things in very different contexts. So those to me are the ones. I mean, I was just meeting with go-to-market leaders at my company, and they're like, we're going through the different sales cycles and what we want to do in different areas. And it's like, let's do a drip. I'm like, let's not use any terminology that has preconceived ideas, right? Go to ABM, campaign. It's like, let's say what it is we need to do, not what it is we're going to do, because that can mean totally different things. But conversion rates can mean, there's thousands of conversion rates you can have, right? A campaign can be small in scope, can be very large in scope. People can mean very different pieces. So and content, of course, can be anything, can be content. And so those three to me are the ones that really, you know, get my feathers up when I'm like, what do you really mean by that? And let's not prescribe what it is we need. What are we trying to do is really what I like to focus on.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Those are definitely the top three. I'll add two more to the mix. One is the word strategy. The amazing thing is I'll sit down, I'll talk with CMOs and they'll be like, the marketing strategy. Well, what is it? Which strategy are you using? And they're like, what? It was just strategy. Like, no, there are different strategies. Like, which one are you using? Right. I mean, there's hundreds of them. And so like, that's most, I think a lot of CMOs will throw out the use word strategy just to look exceptionally strategic. The other thing is that people don't understand what the difference between a campaign, a program, and a project is, right? If I'm doing a website, that's a project. If I'm running a PR program, right, that's an ongoing activity they got, and a campaign is a goal-based thing. And I know you're going to talk more deeply about what a campaign is because this is near and dear to my heart, right? So what do you think when you look at a campaign, because we know that this word has been totally killed by all of the tech companies, and I think I'm partially guilty of that. But when you look at a campaign, how do you define it? What's the way that you look at it, Dmitry?
So I think there's a couple of pieces that's interesting there. One, you know, where did the word really even come from when it relates to marketing? And it really came from post-World War II, the development of political campaigns, right? We started to have a lot of focus of people, okay, we're trying to get someone elected. Here's the issues we're going to campaign on. So it's somewhat of a good model when you talk about a political campaign. You know, that is a time-based, it has an ultimate goal of getting someone elected or getting a piece of legislation over the line. It can be at the state level, federal level, but it's all encompassing. It's like, how are we going to message this person? How are we going to build their platform? Where should we take them? Like, that is a campaign, or at least how the original concept really started. So when it comes to marketing and B2B marketing and tech marketing, you know, I like to think of a campaign, I'm less like, how do you define a campaign in a sentence or two? To me, it's more like when you think about doing a campaign, it's how do you holistically think about it in the context of your go-to-market? So I've been, you know, in the past, I've done this where you think of a campaign, you're going to launch some research report or something you're very excited about. You do it, you put it out there, and you're kind of done. And then, but you think it's a strategic campaign. Where now, at least in, you know, when I think about these things, like, okay, we're going to build something, whether it's a piece of content, it's some kind of tool to engage our prospects with. Now, how are we going to use that? Where in the sales cycle, where in the life cycle of our customers are we going to use it? Is it going to touch multiple? How am I going to get the sales team involved in it? How am I going to get customer success involved in it? How are we going to engage our customers? What's the goal of moving them through different parts of the journey? That to me is what really becomes a campaign. And so, and it kind of dovetails back into conversion rates and content, right? We talk about content and conversion rates usually as, what is the conversion rate for that campaign? Or what's the piece of content where if you really start to orchestrate these, you've got multiple pieces, multiple different conversion rates you're thinking about. But what is the ultimate goal you're trying to do? Is it really getting new people in? Is it moving people from one part where you tend to see people stall? That's to me what a campaign really is about, is not just marketing doing something on their own. It's how does this really integrate into your go-to-market?
Yeah, I can't agree with you more. And I love that you brought up the history of this, because the first political campaign was actually William McKinley. And so he ran the very first campaign. Unfortunately, he died shortly after that, so I don't think it worked out for him. But, you know, it's funny, but you use the political campaign, because what is a political campaign? It's a giant marketing campaign. And these presidential campaigns where they have a $1 billion budget. Dmitry, would you like a $1 billion budget to try to accomplish your goals?
I mean, what's interesting about political campaigns, the stakes are really high. They're short in duration. Well, I mean, they get longer and longer now, but there's big money and there's a lot at stake. And there's so many different people trying to input. The ability to have a real focused, very, you know, cleanly communicated idea of what it is you're trying to do is really important. And I think it's equally important within B2B marketing. And it's very easy to start building things, get in the motion, and lose focus of what you're actually trying to do.
Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. And I think what ends up happening is there's been a shift, and I don't know why this has happened other than just looking at people becoming very specialized, but there's been a shift to channel-based marketing. And we're just going to start with the channel. Like, well, how are we going to create more leads? Well, let's try LinkedIn advertising, right? Yeah. And it's like, well, why are we doing LinkedIn advertising? Yeah, when you, like you brought, I love the political campaign analogy, right? Because you got to, when you're thinking about a campaign, you're starting with the goals. Like, what am I trying to accomplish? I want to be president of the United States, right? Yeah. What is my strategy? Okay, I'm going after the battleground states because those are the only ones that matter, right? Yeah, what is my target audience? It's the American people in the battleground states, right? And what are my set of messages? What's my political platform? You know, low taxes, green initiatives, I'm going to use both because I don't want to get into political discussion here. Yeah. And then, then you choose your channels, right? You choose like, okay, I'm going to do billboards and I'm going to do TV and I'm going to do radio and I'm going to do social. And then you choose your channels after you've defined who the target audience is and what you want to say to them in order to achieve the freaking goal. And this is, I don't understand how marketers go into the channel and then try to back solve everything for the channel. And then they're like, oh, the channel didn't work.
Well, I understand how that, I guess I have some thoughts on how that happens. There's so much focus today for CMOs to drive pipeline, which is a good goal. Like, you should be really thinking about everything I'm doing, this campaign, is it moving current pipeline? Is it creating new pipeline? Is it trying to get us awareness out there for other perception? Like, what's the goal? But it's very easy to feel the pressure of, I need pipeline. Great, LinkedIn's been working. And think about getting reaction or integrate, taking something that's kind of been working and just putting more to it without the thought of, well, why is it working? How much is it the message? How much is it? They all fit together. So I understand where the pressure leads to kind of sporadic activity. And it's tough, especially if things aren't moving well, then that tend to happen a lot more, right? But yeah, it's funny what you said about campaigns. So want to be president of the United States. It can be harder to find campaign goals than B2B marketing, right? At least with political campaigns, usually it's a little clear. Like, so it's a little, and then the other piece I think is interesting when you talk about messaging, you know, I always like to think about messaging of, hey, in your prospects, where is the space in your prospect's head that you want to grab, and what do you want them to associate with your company, and how are you going to stay in their brain? I mean, that's to me really what messaging is about. And there's a lot going on trying to get in your prospect's heads. So how are you going to stick and where are you going to land?
And you're so right, because that is the fundamental essence of marketing. And I think this is a skill set that unfortunately has been lost, because I think especially in B2B marketing, a lot of the marketers don't actually talk to customers, right? Because you got a sales force, they're all talking to you, they don't want to invite marketers in on the conversation, and they're not really understanding what are those pain points that they're really struggling with. So, you know, you bring up a good point in kind of tying this marketing element with campaigns into the sales component. And, you know, I think a lot of times marketers will run campaigns and, you know, they'll get the leads in and everything else, and then it just kind of goes away and they move on to the next thing. They're always trying to focus on acquisition because of sales related stuff. Talk to me, because I know you have some really good thoughts and perspectives on how to get that alignment with the sales team. How, after we've done a campaign, do we get to that next stage of actually really driving value?
So I think I'll start with a bad example. You know, I've been at companies where sales leader comes and says, hey, we've got some deals seem to stall in this stage. Can you just nurture them, send them some stuff to move them? And I'm like, what's the problem? Like, what? And it's not really known, right? So that's one example of where people, it's just like, call an air support, but we don't know where we're supposed to hit, what we're supposed to target, why we're, what we're trying to do. I think now what I try to do is, as we're building this, okay, there's two ways I look at it. One, sometimes marketers very much become reactionary in terms of, we got a product launch. Okay, there's an event coming up. Like, what are you doing to build momentum, engagement, pipeline that maybe isn't driven by what other people in the company are doing? Like, you as marketing are building tools, you know, engaging activations, things like that, that can bring people in. Now, how are you going to integrate that across the different parts of your go-to-market? So I think it's really coming first, it's starting with, as you look to build whatever the pieces are of your campaign, walking through your go-to-market, you know, your customer map, and figuring, where is this really focused? If you have, you know, your SDR team, how are you going to make sure they're spun up and they've internalized whatever it is you're doing so that they intrinsically can have conversations about it. When you go into more into the sales process, once people have become more qualified and in an opportunity, how can you work with the sales team? Get with your sales leaders. How can we, will this help? How could we activate it? What are your challenges you're having where this could help? Right. So I think it's both. Sometimes you're building a campaign that you want to think about these. The other times are, you've identified a problem in your go to market You want to build a campaign to help with that strategic piece to either bring new revenue, accelerate revenue. It's really important why you're doing this.
Yeah, without a doubt. And one of the things that you brought up that I think is important, that I think actually a lot of CMOs are struggling with, and you mentioned the SDR team or the BDR team, whatever you call them, at your organization. You know, obviously a lot of B2B companies have them. And there's like a big debate. Should they report directly into the sales team or should they report into the marketing team? I don't know whether you have a perspective on that one way or the other, but I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. Regardless of where they report, SDRs are really your first touch impression of your, one of the first impressions of your brand, right? So sure, there's brand activities, there's social, I mean, there's ways to get your brand out there without that, but this is the first human interaction with your brand often. So regardless of if it's in sales or marketing, I think it's very typical to not think of that, the SDR part is a strategic touch in your brand. And so it's usually like, oh, here are the leads, send them the SDRs. And I've fallen prey to this too. And SDRs will go, figure out what they need to do with them versus really work with your SDR leader. How do we want to come across in that first touch? Whether that's in email, whether that's in phone call, what is the brand perception we want even in those interactions? So more and more, I think it belongs more in marketing because you can really have that tight connection. I also find with sales, sometimes they're so focused on closing deals, which isn't a bad thing, right? The part of getting newer people in, that it's a different skill set. It's a different muscle set. And if push comes to shove and pressure's on, you're going to always focus on closing deals, not the front end. So I think there's some real reasons to have it in marketing the more and more I, think about this.
I completely agree. And, I've run sales and marketing both simultaneously. And I really believe that it is more of a marketing function. You're trying to generate leads. The other thing, if you move it into the marketing team, you remove friction between where did the lead come from. It doesn't matter anymore because now it's part of it. You free up your sales folks to 100% focus on closing the deals. And then it's marketing's job to make sure you're filling the pipeline. And I think that really should be the responsibility of the marketers these days. Now, you've had thought processes that go beyond the customer. Once you close that deal, I think a lot of marketers are like, okay, I'm not really going to be focused on, the customer relationships or growing that customer or maintaining that customer. If you have a recurring revenue stream, subscription-based stuff, tell me about some of the things that you think that marketing should be doing to support the pipeline post-acquisition.
Yeah, two things. One, anyone who's neglecting kind of the customer pipeline or growth part, I mean, it should be your easiest revenue. It's always interesting to me in high growth companies, you have the most data, if you will, about your customers. And so working with the CFO and looking at, your planning for your plan for the next year, you have such visibility usually into your churn and all of this of, oh, so we project this amount of growth in the customer. Whatever we're not going to get there, we have to make up a new logo. And so there's a lot of pressure on whatever we're not going to get there, we're going to get a new logo. So how do you bring some of that pressure onto your customer, not your customers, but the growth engine of how are we going to go engage our customers to get more revenue out of our customers? Because that's where it should be a natural place to get more revenue. So one, there's just a mindset I think that's important. Two, it comes back to, how do you engage your customers working with CS? Where are places? Do you have offerings? Do you understand enough where someone is? Are there natural stages to their growth in terms of what they can achieve in your market with your product? And you can start to become much more prescriptive. You're here. This is where we think you could be. The benefits to your business of continuing to invest and expand. So how do you have that more strategic conversation and not just look at the relationship with your customers as, support and break fix? That's one I think marketing can help with. Two, I mean, it is a great place to just go and know your customer really well, build great stories that you can go tell together in the market, get champions you're using out in the marketplace. So even if you're not going to be involved in trying to drive more revenue on the customer side, it's a great place to reinforce and get advocates for your stories. So I like to spend a lot of my time reaching out to current customers, building that rapport, getting them to talk to press, analysts. I formed a lot of friendships actually that way, like true friendships that become real. But it's really trying to understand what is our customer really going through. So I think there's multiple ways. And then campaigns, it's often easy to only think about new logo. You also have to have a good partner and your CS leader that you're willing to sit down and really start to look at it like a sales leader. What are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? Where are the problems? How much of a process do we have nailed down? And that's, you got to look at it just like a whole nother process and engagement with customers in that life cycle.
I couldn't agree more. And I think where the key thing that you pointed out is a lot of marketers feel like after they've done acquisition, they've done their job. And here's a little tip for all you marketers out there. I mean, if you support the customer and you support, you know, loyalty and you support add-on sales and you use those customer relationships, like Dimitri was saying, for evangelism, not just revenue generation, then you can start to take credit for LTV. So if you've got your customers stay with you 4, 5, 6 years, that's the true value of marketing. So when you go into your board meeting or you go into your executive team meeting, and you're trying to show what the ROI is. Okay. Don't just show what the revenue that marketing sourced. Look at the LTV. This deal closed for $100,000, but they stay for 3 years. That's $300,000. And when you start looking at what the true value of marketing is, because you're supporting them beyond the sale, now you can take credit for it. And now you really see what the value is. Your marketing budget won't get cut, you know, because we all worry about that all the time.
So one other thing there, nothing kills high growth more than churn, right? So I think it's, especially when you look at, hey, how fast are you growing? Churn becomes a major piece as well. Like you could be, you're adding a ton of customers, but you got customers walking out the door. That's not a healthy sign. And so I think churn and the ability to really continue to engage your customers, I think it's something that every CMO needs to be looking at as well.
And this is an incredibly important point on this, because when you have churn, right, when people are coming to your customer support wing, they're already unsatisfied. Okay. It's too late. Marketing has the opportunity to be proactive, sending information out there, giving them tips and tricks, getting them to user group meetings, all different ways to make connections and make the customer happy before they churn. Because once they start calling in, they're already moving down a path that they may exit, your company. And that stinks. So tell me about some of the, you know, obviously not everything works in marketing. We remember the old saying is that I know that 50% of my marketing is going to work. I just don't know which half. So yeah. Tell me about some of these lessons that you've had with the campaigns that you've run from the successes and failures you've had.
Let's see. Some failures. I think.
Are you going to go to the failures first?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I think I was thinking about this the other day. It's like one time it was, you know, coming up on Valentine's Day. We thought, hey, that'd be a cool thing. Like, send these little heart candies with messaging around our market to our customers. You know, it's creative. It was kind of fun. Didn't really do anything, right? I mean, so that's one where, and it's a great example of, we did that very much in isolation. We didn't think about, okay, if this happens, what should we do with the SDR team around this? What should we do? You know, is there a place there for it? It was kind of a cool idea we wanted to do, right? So that's one example I think of didn't work so well. A good example is that Devo, we started a security analyst, you know, appreciation day. Started as kind of a day of content where it wasn't about Devo, never was. It was bringing together a lot of different people from across the community, talking about, you know, what challenges they have. We had people come and talk about helping get new people into security. It started kind of very grassroots. We did it the first time, and it kept going. We had a couple hundred people the first time. You know, by the third year, we had over a thousand people on there. We were able to engage real people. We were able to leverage that to get, you know, people, real thought leaders in the industry associated with us and working with us, even though we really weren't talking about our product. So that was a good one that I think got a lot of leverage and allowed us to start getting our name into other communities. So I guess those are two. And then I guess two other thoughts of contrasting. I've done research reports in the past, and you get them out there, great. You get some, you know, coverage. It's, but, you know, what I've been doing now is you build a report, you do a self-assessment so people can understand where they fall on that. And then you really work with the sales team and the go-to-market team and SDRs to start taking this to be more confident in how you talk to your prospects about, we understand this market, here's real data, but it has to be real data. You can't just go do self-serving. You know, this has to be some real research. And then the self-assessment around that allows people to really understand, well, where are you in regard to this research? How are you falling? What can we do together to help you get there? So it's, and then making sure it's everyone's bought in on using it. I find a lot of times sales teams, especially in technology markets, it's hard for them to feel confident about that we as a company can come across of what can we offer you that you don't already know? Because a lot of times you're selling to people who know more or profess to know more about the industry than you do. And they're often right. So how do you not come in and just sound markety and preachy, but really can offer real advice to people and real help? I think that's the challenge of how do you really do that? So that's some shift for me in terms of how can you go do real research and hold yourself accountable that's going to actually bring value to others?
So that's interesting that you bring that up, because there's been a debate recently because content has become so important. You started talking about content as one of the most overused words in marketing. And I'm starting to see, for people that have very technical products or, you know, market shaping products, that they're actually starting to move towards hiring a subject matter expert on their team to try to create some of that thought leadership content. So the content comes across credible. It's unique. Like you said, there's some research behind it. What are your thoughts on that? Do you believe in that, to bring them on the marketing team, so you're not very kind of jargony, pushing out, you know, random content on a regular basis that nobody's really going to respect?
Sure. I think two things. I mean, I think it's always helpful to have someone who really understands in, you know, producing content. But once again, there's a big difference between, there's plenty of companies that have someone like that out there talking, but when you go and interact with the SDR team, or you talk to go through a sales process, and that hasn't been infused across all of that, right? So I think there's a big difference to having a thought leader. That's great. But how do you make sure as the marketing leader that that's not just a facade of great, we have people out there, people engaging with it. Can you bring the confidence of that thought leadership and that knowledge through the way people are going to interact with you as a brand? That's the hard part.
That is super hard. Have you been able to do that?
I think you first have to focus on it. I think a lot of people don't even realize you need to try to do that. It is hard, but I think it's also just, are you sincere in the way you approach this as a company?
Yeah.
Does that come across in how you interact? Because too often we think of product as the only differentiator. Mm. How you interact with your customers and prospects as a brand says a lot, right? Which I think that's equally important.
Yeah, I agree with you. It has to be cultural to the company in general in order for that to work exceptionally well. All right, we've gotten to that point of the podcast discussion where I asked the question, if you are talking to either an aspiring CMO or somebody that was a CMO that just needed a little bit of help, and we all do, what is the best piece of advice that you could give them?
So I guess my thoughts on advice would be twofold. One is, you know, stop focusing on how hard marketing is. And I think it's, how do you embrace the strategic engine marketing truly should be, right? That's kind of how I go beyond just thinking about, hey, people have, hey, we have a product launch, we have, you know, these tactical things. How do you step back and really drive a marketing team and program that focuses on where can we add value holistically across the go-to-market, get awareness of the brand, generate pipeline, help close business? So I think I'm always amazed when marketers get together, there's so much complaining, which is kind of natural, but I think it's too much of what we as marketers do when we, you know, so I think it's stop focusing on how hard marketing is and start embracing the strategic growth engine it can be.
So I want to build on this because I think this is really important. I think maybe the most important thing you've said in this whole thing, and I hope that marketers take this away and actually listen to the end on this. Okay. Marketing is actually very strategic. And unfortunately, over time, we've become too tactical because we focus on demand generation because that's the only thing that we have numbers that we can prove out. The reality is that if you're a head of marketing and you want to sit at the head of the executive table driving the initiative of the company, you need to own all of the elements that a CMO should own. So if you don't own things like pricing and packaging, you don't own the messaging as you know, for driving the discussion, the value proposition, you're not owning these other elements in addition to demand generation. You're not getting involved in distribution strategies. You're not getting involved in growth strategies for the business. Then you're not really a CMO, right? And so you need to take that discussion up, spend more time on the strategy. I say this over and over again. The word market is in the word marketing. You are a CMO marketing. Go look at the market. Bring that information back. Trust me, there's nobody else bringing that back to the organization. There's nobody doing focus groups. There's nobody out there doing surveys. There's nobody sitting there reviewing multiple sales calls and digesting that and seeing what is really going on in the market. And when you have that information, you have power. And when you have power, you can drive the agenda of the company. If this is all going to fall on the CEO to make these decisions, they're not going to always make the right decision because they're not looking at it with that type of lens. And that's your job. So I know that I probably just made it harder, but here's what I'm going to say is if you do understand those things, everything else gets really crystal clear because you understand the buyer, you understand the product, you understand market direction, and now you can make decisions that will help drive your company. So Dimitri, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And of course, great pearls of wisdom there. I hope everybody takes this to heart and can get some good nuggets that they can apply to their job today. And I'd love to have you back again, Dimitri, because I'm sure that we left out a whole host of other things that you could have talked about as far as your deep expertise in marketing and being a 15-year marketing leader. There's a lot of battle scars there. But we're staying positive, right? We're staying positive.
Correct.
All right. Well,
thanks, Scott. It was great.
Thanks again. And check out other podcasts. We've got over 130 of them now out there. So, and check out The Next CMO. Go to thenextcmo.com and register for the community. There's all kinds of great content, tips, tricks, templates to help you do your job better. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you on another edition of The Next CMO podcast in just a little bit. Bye-bye.